You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Welcome to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host this morning. We have today with us Jen Delvaux, co-host.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Jose Coronel.
Muy buenos dias.
Good morning. So Jose and Jen, as you, our listeners may know, are coordinators in the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship, and I am the director. And so we have our guest today with us is Michael McKenzie. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
So Mike is the director for the internal communications for Renew My Church. So we're going to talk to Mike a little bit about some of his communications, his tools, and the ways in which we can spread the good news in our communities and in our families. And then toward the end of the show, Mike is going to actually ask the three of us some questions about some of the work we've been doing in evangelization. But let's just get started with Mike. So Mike, what is internal communications?
Internal communications, it's one discipline among many in the broader understanding of communications. I think when people learn that an organization has a communications department, we often think of dealing with the media or social media. Here at the Archdiocese, naturally, we have some publications like Chicago Catholic and the website.
And the radio station.
And the radio station and TV, our YouTube presence. Those are all external facing. Those are all channels that communicate something to the outside world of what's going on within the Archdiocese. Internal communications make sure that everybody within the organization, within the Archdiocese, from Cardinal Supich to the parishioner and everybody in between, our priests, our deacons, our lay ecclesial ministers, our staff at the parishes and the pastoral center, that everybody is communicated to and with effectively and efficiently, that we're all on the same page, and that we're all singing from the same song sheet.
And, oh gosh, how many people is that, Mike?
It's quite a few.
Is it like 2 million people or something like that?
Sometimes it feels like that. It really does. It's inclusive of everybody at our pastoral center, mm-hmm. which is a few hundred people between Quigley Center and Meyer Center. Mm-hmm. It's all of our parishes in Cook and Lake County.
And schools.
And schools. All of the different employees that we have and clergy. So
that's amazing.
Within that fold are the parishioners themselves, too, because everything we communicate from here at the Pastoral Center to our pastors ultimately is intended to be something that gets to our parishioners and our faithful.
So to kind of make it more concrete, what are some of the tools that you have implemented for to communicate? Because you're one person, so right. It's not like you can walk around and tell us everything. So what kind of tools are you using?
And to explain that a little bit, I need to understand your audience to understand that I wear two different hats. So one is internal communications for the Archdiocese, and one is for communications for Renew My Church specifically.
Okay. All right.
So some of the tools that we have are certainly making sure that our bulletin messages are consistent and effective. Mm. So providing our pastors and our parish teams with bulletin messages about Renew My Church that they can share with parishioners, especially for those that have been quote-unquote activated, those parishes that are moving through the grouping process. We have some standard weekly communication channels for pastors and parish employees that are news bundles that share with them kind of the current events, new programs, new decisions, if you will, from the Pastoral Center that get shared, and they receive those on a regular basis, and that's something that they can sort of cascade or trickle down to their parishioners through their own parish-based communications.
So it's like announcements, bulletin inserts, letters from the Cardinal, some up-and-coming thing, like we just had the CCHD collection. So it'd be something like an ad about that or an update on that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So all the great work that's taking place amongst the many agencies and ministries mm-hmm. that we have, I help amplify that to make sure that all of our parishes are aware of it.
Great.
And that they can share that through their own channels, be it their own website, their bulletins, Flocknote, their mm-hmm. social media channels.
That's great. That's awesome. And how do you, in terms of Renew My Church, how is that a little bit different?
Because it's very specific to one initiative or one effort mm-hmm. that we have. So for that, I'm excited that we have a brand new Renew My Church website on the horizon. Sometime at the beginning of Advent, we'll be launching a very comprehensive, robust website dedicated to all things Renew My Church. And that's exciting because that's very initiative specific.
Right.
But it's on the hearts and minds of many of our people, mm-hmm. Particularly those who have parishes that are either moving through the grouping process or are about to. So that website's going to be very comprehensive. People can learn about why we need renewal, what Renew My Church is and what it's not, to help really kind of clarify the misconceptions about what Renew My Church is.
Mm-hmm.
What the goals are, more information about the mission imperatives. So when we talk about Renew My Church, making disciples, building community, and inspiring witness, the website is one place where people can unpack that. What does that mean in practical terms? What does it mean for me as somebody who's coming to Mass on Sundays, as somebody in a family that's trying to live out the Catholic faith? How does this big Renew My Church movement affect me in such a way that I can help make disciples, that I can help build a community and be an inspiring witness in my neighborhood? The website will feature stories from parishioners, from priests, from those in our parishes as they progress through this notion of renewal. It will share their stories, their struggles, how they wrestle with renewal and change, what their hopes and their dreams are. And that's a very important part of the communications effort, is to shine a spotlight on those people who are living it and that want to share that with other people so they have a better understanding of what to expect.
So from an evangelization standpoint, what part of this is an important piece of our evangelization effort here to build cultures for evangelization in our parish communities?
I think a big part of it is giving people a vocabulary mm-hmm. with which to speak.
Like, what is evangelization?
Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. Giving them, you know, the basic understanding of how to talk about your faith, mm-hmm. the importance of talking about your faith, and what evangelization can and might look like in the context of our current culture. Evangelization could have looked very different for somebody when they were younger or in a different generation or mm-hmm. in a different age. Evangelization takes on a different color and a different tone and a different expression in our current culture, but then also for each individual. And I think our communication efforts just give people the many different tools and understanding of what that could be for them.
So how will our listeners find out when – I know that I've put together websites, so I understand that it's a process before it goes live. How will they be able to access that website once it's live?
Once it's live, we'll definitely have a place on the main Archdiocesan website. And
awesome.
That will kind of
one of those little boxes maybe
yeah.
on the website? Okay.
Right. And that'll launch effectively what becomes its own microsite.
Great.
And the intent right now is to have its own vanity URL so that we can then market that website address on just about everything else that I
so
produce.
So you can't tell us that yet?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No.
Okay.
No, we're going to keep that one under
wraps. This is a perfect time to take a little break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation with Mike McKenzie. And maybe we'll get that out of him.
On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, I send you out. On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Zupich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
The Archdiocese is celebrating its 175th anniversary. Our special edition includes a great retrospective on the earliest days of the city and the church, and we highlight several milestone events in our history. Also in this edition, we talk to middle schoolers who attended Holy Fire, and we introduce you to organizations receiving funds from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Cardinal Blaise Supich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
The annual CCHD collection takes place the weekend of November 17th and 18th. Please give generously to support your neighbors.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
To become people of spirit, it's time for us.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. I'm continuing the conversation with Michael McKenzie, who is the Director for Internal Relations for Internal Communications. Mike, I just gave you a new title. For the Archdiocese of Chicago, and Jose and Jen will from the evangelization team will be joining our conversation in a moment. So, Mike, you were at the Renew My Church Summit, and that was quite for our listeners that were there. I'm sure you know what kind of radical hospitality that was, and uplifting to see our church together. We had how many priests and lay people? About 2,500 folks together.
Yeah, that was about it.
And it was really inspiring to see so many people gathered from the Archdiocese. That's what we're hearing.
That's a big piece of the feedback from everybody, from the priests, the deacons, the parishioners, parish staff, principals. People were really excited and inspired to see so many folks from around the Archdiocese gathered together in prayer and enthused to be part of renewing the local church.
Yeah. You shared with a group of us some of the feedback from that. So what are some of the highlights that you'd want our listeners to know about the summit?
Well, you mentioned radical hospitality.
Yeah.
Overwhelming how radical hospitable the folks were. People really responded well to that. They were blown away.
How would you describe the radical hospitality?
Welcomed from the moment people almost entered the town of Rosemont, I think.
Not true enough.
I think at the border there were people welcoming folks in. And it was just a genuine desire for people to have a warm and joyful experience. You know, people were being welcomed into something that felt like coming into a family party.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is, right? I mean, the Archdiocese is a family faith community. And I think people just were made to feel at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that not only are we happier here, we're excited you're here. We're enthused that you're here. My joy is made possible because your presence is here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people experienced. And yeah, it was a home run in that regard.
And we had so many signs everywhere, including in this very long walkway, right, from the parking lot over to the hotel. And there was like every 10 feet, there was like a sign, keep going, we're this way.
Yeah, you couldn't get lost.
I know.
Between the signs and the number of people there, we were going to make sure.
Every 10 feet, there was a person smiling.
Right, yeah, it was wonderful.
How many volunteers did we have? It was like 150?
At least that, if
present
not north of it.
Yeah, it was awesome. So Tell us, for those who might not have been able to experience the talks or to been at the summit, or those who were and want to share what their experience was with those back in their parish, what could they do?
There's a few things I'd recommend.
Okay.
First of all, start in prayer, right?
Right.
Pray about your role in the renewal of the local church. Mm-hmm. Pray for all of those who are leading it at the pastoral center. Pray for our cardinal and our bishops and all of our priests and deacons who are in positions where they're discerning all of the different movements of the Spirit that are moving our parishes through the grouping process. So keep prayer at the forefront. In a pragmatic manner in which people want to really understand the content of the summit, we recently, with the help of some of your colleagues in Parish Vitality and Mission, packaged up some of the talks in video format, as well as in a discussion guide that accompanies it. That was sent to all of our pastors in our parishes with the hopes that they will share that with their larger parish communities, whether in large groups or in small groups, but invite people to gather, to watch and listen to the talks by some of the guests and the mm-hmm. panelists, and then to have some really reflective discussions about what they're hearing and what they're taking in. I think that would be a really good starting point, not only for the people who maybe missed the summit, but for those who did attend and just really want to take a moment and then go through it in greater detail in a maybe more structured way.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack in it.
Right.
So that would be a big part of kind of plugging into what the summit offered.
And they can find that on our website, evangelizechicago.org. If you go to evangelizechicago.org and you look at RMC Next Steps, Summit Next Steps, there's a page there, and at the bottom are links to that those resources.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So I would start there. And on that website also, you've listed some other events that are taking place mm-hmm. hosted by your team. Mm-hmm. Evangelization Days being a big piece of it that kind of takes people another layer deeper mm-hmm. into the content and the principles shared there. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your parish leadership about ways in which your parish is continuing to unpack the summit content and to plugging into what the summit provided and all of those kind of next steps mm-hmm. and be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm glad you started with prayer, because that is a really important, powerful piece of this. And it was the powerful part of the summit, was praying together as local church.
And that's something else that across the board people responded very well to. Many of the parishioners who attended were surprised to learn that Renew My Church as an effort or initiative was so grounded in prayer, so grounded in discernment. And that was, it was a beautiful moment for people to really embrace that and to see that this is not merely an organizational change, mm-hmm. that we're not simply making change to structures or the financial aspects of the Archdiocese, that it truly is something that's grounded in Jesus Christ's call to renew his church mm-hmm. and that the Holy Spirit is present every step of the way. And keeping prayer communally and individually part of that is so important.
And discerning where the Holy Spirit's taking us.
Yes.
That's a really important part. So we will come back after break, and then I think we're going to flip the tables and have Mike interview us about these evangelization days we've just experienced.
On a mission of love, I send you out.
I send you out.
On a mission of love, and know that I am with you always, until the end of the world.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, where more than 2,000 Catholics shared the message of evangelization. And we'll visit with two priests who are playing key roles in the ongoing Renew My Church process.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to artschicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. It's Beth White, your host, with Jen Delvaux, our co-host, who hasn't actually spoken yet, and Jose Coronel. And so Mike McKenzie, who is the Director for Internal Communications for the Archdiocese of Chicago, I've asked Mike to interview the three of us. So Mike, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Thank you. And as you mentioned before the break, I think let's dig into some of these evangelization days that your team has been hosting, part of the next steps. Maybe we'll start with Jen, since your co-host hasn't spoken
so
up yet.
Oh, dear.
Jen, can you tell all of our listeners what an evangelization day is?
Nice. A softball question.
Yes.
Appreciate it. The evangelization days are an opportunity for people who attended the summit, other people from our parishes, be they the volunteer all the way up to the pastor, who have an interest in spending more time thinking about what can they do to shift to that culture of evangelization in their parish. So it's an opportunity to first lay some groundwork so that we all have a common language and understanding. And then we start looking at how can we think about where our parishes are at, because you can't start to change something unless you know your starting point. So we've got some great tools that are built around the parable of the sower. And then the really important next step also is starting to think about who are you inviting into this process of the leadership team and so forth, with, much like you highlighted, prayer being an absolutely crucial component of this. So we're wrapping that all together, and that's offered to everyone. And there will be, you know, subsequent things coming down the road to keep them connected.
Great. It sounds like there's a lot involved in one day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you hope that pastors and parish leadership teams who attend take away and maybe start to do or don't start doing yet? What does success look like, you know, on the next day that they're all back at their parish?
I think the best thing that can happen is that they're praying and talking about it, that they're starting to see the need for missionary discipleship if they haven't before, or that they're starting to think how can they better manifest that call to mission in their parish. And so if they're able to take that extra time to start looking at each different ministry or program and say which one or two do we maybe want to focus on, and utilize that parable of the sower tool, then that's, I think, a good first step for them.
Great. Jose.
Yes?
What types of questions and conversations start to surface in the room as people are attending the evangelization day? What are you hearing? What's the buzz in the room as you're walking around?
What I'm hearing is, can we start now? What can we do?
First thing, again, pray. But the question more than anything is, how do I get started? What's the very first thing? How do I do it? And I think that's what they want to know. How do I select my evangelization team? And the evangelization day, we give them a few tips on how to do it. We walk with them through this process where we help them identify who it is that they want to reach, who are the people in there that are in the parish, and then how, and we invite them to be part of that team. And they also just sometimes want to get running right away with rushing to do Alpha, and we sometimes have to hold them back a little and say, before you start doing Alpha, we want you to reconsider the culture in your parish as well, and maybe start working there first. How is it welcoming? How is it hospitable? How is it inviting?
Okay. And I'll ask this of the entire group here, so anybody who wants to jump in. Are there any significant differences in how some people react to the topics of evangelization, creating a culture of evangelization, missionary discipleship? These might be words and ideas that folks who even attend Mass regularly, have been Catholic their whole lives, not necessarily familiar with. So is there a difference in reaction to those types of terms at all?
Yes. So at the Evangelization Day, I set the stage a little bit for what is evangelization, what's an evangelizing culture, what is evangelization. And at first people are very, it's bringing people to Jesus, it's sharing your faith. And you can tell the people that are more comfortable with the word. But invariably, in each group, there's someone who says, I don't like the word, or it sounds very Protestant. And so it's just unpacking that, what the word means. The word evangelization basically comes, the etymology is Greek, and the E-V means good, E-U, which means good. And you see angel in the middle of the word, which means the herald, the sharer. So it literally to evangelize means one to share the good news, to share the good in life. And the word has become co-opted in many ways by politics, by religious whatever. But when we can get them to say, do you think people need some good news in their life today? That kind of helps them respond to that. I think all the terms missionary disciple, I mean, my title, Mike, is, and my very title is Director for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. So if I go somewhere that isn't, it's secular, and they say, what do you do? And I give that title, they all walk away from me. It's a scary, but when you start just breaking it down, to be a missionary means to go outward, and it's to be a follower of Jesus Christ. A disciple is literally to just be one who follows the teacher, and Jesus is the teacher, and to be his discipline, to be the one who follows him and goes outward to share his mission is all we're asking people to do. But they respond very differently, mostly positively. I think now the terminology, at least with the folks that went to the summit, and it's growing.
Yeah.
So
I attended one of these, and it was fantastic to learn about what an evangelizing culture could look like in a parish, and to really understand what are some of the hallmarks or characteristics of a disciple are, and how that might be the foundation for a missionary disciple. So, Jen, what are some of the different traits that might differentiate a disciple to a missionary disciple?
You should ask Jose.
He's the one who created
put that
the
together.
Oh.
We'll put him.
Jose, you're on the spot.
Oh, boy. Well, as I was working with that document, I came across many research that just started describing certain characteristics that are only the person themselves would know. So, for example, I would know if I have a daily prayer life or not. Unless somebody have a really close friend and I reveal that to them, they wouldn't know that of me. They might be able to see me go to Mass or... and that'd be about it, but they wouldn't know what I would do throughout the week. So that would be more of an internal characteristic. But even though this is an internal characteristic, there are certain things that we can see in a person that makes them a missionary disciple and a disciple. So, for example, a disciple, you could see he's attending a Bible study, right? The missionary disciple would have integrated that knowledge that he has acquired about through that Bible study and is able to go out and share what he has learned. So you see him going out and sharing that. So I think those are just a few little things, and well, obviously joyful. You can see the person is joyful most of the time. And even when he is not joyful, he still looks for the positive in life, or she.
Is everybody?
And I need to interrupt you. We have to take a quick break, and we'll come back and for Mike to continue questioning us.
I send you out on a mission of love. I
send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. And know that I am with you always until the end of the world.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
As we celebrate our 100th anniversary, I want to offer a special thank you to the Good Samaritans who support Catholic Charities. I'm Monsignor Mike Boland. We feed, clothe, shelter, and give job counseling to nearly 1 million people each year. Homeless veterans, the elderly, youth, pregnant women, and now grieving survivors of children shot and killed in the streets of Chicago all count on Catholic Charities. See how you can help at CatholicCharities.net. You may be of another faith or no faith, but you have faith in us. Thank you.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your host this morning, and Mike McKenzie, our Director for Internal Communications, has turned the table on the evangelization team and is asking us some questions about some of the work we've been doing.
Before we went to break, Jose, you were talking a bit about the difference between disciples and missionary disciples. I'm curious to know, as someone who believes himself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, am I also called to be a missionary disciple? Can I comfortably sit where I am right now in my Bible study? Or am I being called, are we all being called to another element of discipleship, one of a missionary disciple?
Well, I think we are all definitely called towards becoming a missionary disciple. Because I think that's the process, right? A disciple is the one that learns. And why do you learn? You do not just learn to keep it all to yourself. You learn to be able to share it with others. A teacher does not just go to school and become a teacher. He goes to become a teacher to teach others what he has learned, to get them that knowledge and that experience of what he knows.
What might we say to the faithful Catholic whose devotional life includes Eucharistic adoration, Lectio Divina, and praying a rosary on a Friday night at Mass? Is that person living out a fruitful, abundant, faith-filled life? Or do we think that there's room and opportunity there for that person to witness at a different pitch, if you will?
I think I would go back to, I don't remember what Saint said about ora et labora, you know, pray and work, pray and action. So prayer is definitely,
Saint Benedict.
I think it's definitely a one part of it. But if it's just prayer that doesn't lead us to action and it's not outward looking, I think that's something we can work on to achieve.
Okay. I know that in many circles, the term evangelize, people may immediately default to, well, I need to speak about Jesus, whether it's on the corner on State Street, or I need to pass out pamphlets. I need to be posting something on Facebook all the time about my faith and inviting people. Often what we might hear in defense is, well, wait a second. St. Francis once said, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah.
So first of all, St. Francis never said that if you talk to a Franciscan. I guess one of the things we'd say to that is that in our post-Christian culture in which we live, we can do really nice things for people and be very Catholic nice, and people have no idea why we're doing it. They have no idea that we're being kind because we're Christian. They just think we're nice. And so it isn't about us. It's not about our good acts. It really is about bringing people to Jesus Christ and to his feet and to helping them find that God really does love them unconditionally, and that this Jesus came for us to save us so that we can have everlasting life with the Father. And so that's our job. And so you have to use words to explain that. And the other thing I like to say is that, you know, Francis of Assisi had this really cool habit, and so everybody knew he was Catholic, and we don't have those, a lot of us lay folks. We don't have an identifier. And to answer your first thing about going out, some people are called to do that. Some people, that is their gift. Some people knocking on doors or giving out pamphlets, that really could bring someone to Christ, because in that moment in time, God can use any of us through an emotion. That is not who I am. I would not feel comfortable doing any of those things, and that's okay. I'm the director for evangelization, and I would say that's okay, but I'm comfortable talking about my faith with people and having a trusting conversation. I will share one quick story. Jose was with me. We were at the grocery store picking up some stuff one of these evangelization nights, and this woman said, "What are you doing?" And she was a young adult, and I said, "Oh, we have this event at our church tonight." And she goes, "What's the event for?" And I said, "We're doing this Taste of Alpha at the parish down the street." "What's Alpha?" And I said, I kind of panicked because I was like, oh, I have to actually explain this. And I said, well, it is a event. You come and you have a conversation and you learn about faith and Jesus. And she goes, wow, that would be amazing to have something like that. Where I used to go to church, you just went to church on Sunday. And they had a Bible study, but I didn't really get it. I would have loved to have had something like that where I could just go talk about my faith. And I was like, wow. And so that's kind of evangelizing, is just being willing in that moment to put yourself out there and have that conversation and have the person shut you down or be open. So
that's great. You mentioned Alpha.
Yes.
So let's talk about that, because another event, if you will, that your team is helping to facilitate as part of the next steps from the summit is something called A Taste of Alpha. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can start with what is Alpha, and then you can describe what A Taste of Alpha is.
Sure. So I'll talk about what it is, and then Jen can talk about A Taste of Alpha. So Alpha is a tool that it's an 11-week series of about faith that came from the Anglican Church. And it was really their post-baptismal preparation for the church, almost like our RCIA, but reverse, like it was after baptism. And it's grown into a tool to use that we see from our perspective as Catholics with that RCIA model in play of the evangelization pre-catechumenate phase. It's an opportunity for people to have a meal together, to build community, to watch a video, and then to have a conversation that leads them, it breaks open the basic teachings of Christianity, who is this Jesus and why did he die for us and what is prayer and all those kinds of things, in a very slow way to allow a person to grow and let the Holy Spirit work through them. And to hopefully lead them to a light to the feet of Christ. And so it's really just a tool that can be used in this evangelizing process.
All right. So the Taste of Alphas are quite literally just that, a taste. They are an opportunity that people have to come and hear the very condensed version of where does Alpha as a tool fit in this idea of missionary discipleship and parish life. And then they get a short presentation from one of the Alpha representatives that involves a video clip, an understanding of what Alpha is, how does it function, the basic topics, and then a good long Q&A session, because we found that that's one of the biggest, most important pieces. And at all of our sites, we've now done this at 6 sites in multiple languages, and each one has such different sets of questions. So giving that space to really make sure we're answering the questions of who's in front of us and not the questions that we think people have. So it's been a really great opportunity for people to understand a little bit more. You know, it's not how do you do Alpha or anything to that level of complexity, but just really a little nibble of it.
What are some of the reactions you're getting from folks, knowing that this is something that didn't necessarily originate within the Catholic Church, but yet it has had great success in introducing people to the person of Jesus Christ and the kerygma, the basics of our faith? What are some of the reactions that you've gotten as you've hosted a Taste of Alpha?
I think one of the questions has been, is it Catholic? And to which the answer is, it's not Catholic, but it's done in a Catholic context. And because what is similar to all denominations and religions is the kerygma, who Jesus is, his life, his death, his resurrection. And that is what we share in common. And that is the goal of Alpha, is to help people enter into that relationship with Jesus. What comes after it is what makes it Catholic. So if we have, for example, nothing after Alpha, then chances are then that it probably won't be the best tool for us to use. But if there is something after Alpha, for example, a Bible study, formation around sacraments, or what is adoration, what is the Eucharist, what is the sacrament of reconciliation, then it'll be a good tool, and it will help people be formed in our faith.
So we have to take a break right now, and we'll be back in a few minutes to continue the conversation.
On a mission of love, I send you out.
An important weekend is coming up for religious communities here in the Chicago area and across the United States. Hello, I'm Brother Michael Segvich, Religious Retirement Coordinator for the Archdiocese of Chicago, urging you to give generously on the weekend of December 8th and 9th. That's our annual collection for the Retirement Fund for Religious. It's our 31st annual collection for religious who have ministered for many years with little or no salaries. The collection goes a long way in addressing retirement funding shortages. Religious congregations are better able to ensure that the charism and good works of their orders continue. Tens of thousands of elderly Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests benefit, and so do their ministries that help our neediest brothers and sisters. So please keep our religious communities in your hearts, minds, and prayers. We thank you for your kindness. May God bless you.
The Word Made Clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello, I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot 3 times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love from the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship at the Archdiocese of Chicago. Mike McKenzie, our Director for Internal Communication, is asking the evangelization team some questions. Continue.
Before the break, Jose, you were sharing a bit about the questions and reactions you're getting from A Taste of Alpha. Are people hungry for more?
Yes, they are. They usually just want to jump in and get it going.
Mm-hmm.
And they're excited about it.
Okay. We talked a bit earlier about a culture of evangelization in our parishes. I am assuming that having such a culture would lend itself to a successful execution of Alpha. But why don't you tell us a bit about what makes Alpha successful in a parish and where there could be some stumbling blocks when a parish may not be ready for Alpha?
So I guess one of the things we're trying to really encourage people to do with Alpha is to take a moment to understand how the tool can be used. So Jen sort of sets up at the different Taste of Alphas what we're trying to achieve. So we're trying to achieve communities in which we're helping people encounter Jesus Christ and providing them with opportunities to grow in that relationship and to grow as disciples, and then ultimately, as Jose had described, become missionary disciples. Because we really believe missionary disciples are the ones that have the greatest tendency to evangelize, meaning they're the ones that have a comfortability filling their faith, sharing their faith, because they know their faith. They've been formed in a particular way. We find that a lot of missionary disciples, like the four of us probably around the table right here, have somehow sought out our own formation opportunities through university or on workshops or whatever, but we're not readily providing those tools in a lot of our communities, so people may not even know how to resource. So the way that Alpha is a really beneficial tool is if you know that's what your goal is, and then you can use it as a tool for encounter, and a tool that helps twofold. One, it helps the community come to understand what it's like not to have faith. We presume that people around us do, and they don't. It's an incredible gift to have faith. And we have a world where we have a 25% increase recently, the studies show, in suicide rates, loneliness, isolation, depression, and they don't know that God loves them and they're loved. And we presume people know that, but they don't. And Alpha provides that opportunity for that. It also helps the community have an easy, soft entry point for folks to invite them to something other than Mass. Mass, as we will point out, is a ritual, and it's for the fully initiated. That's its purpose. And so, as Jen, who did RCIA, will tell you, during RCIA, as you know, we ask folks to leave until they're fully initiated into the church. And so that's kind of the purpose of it. And so Alpha is that easy way to invite people into something. So to create that culture of inviting, welcoming, receiving people where they're at, giving them a sense of belonging, not having expectations on people, but walking with them so they're not alone. So that's how it can help build a culture and also an intentionality about adult formation. that we really want to grow as adults and providing the opportunities for adults to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's wonderful. It sounds like when a parish has that culture and they're able to execute an alpha program, that they're really striving toward in a quite successful way of achieving our mission imperatives. Alpha, by its very nature, is introducing people to Jesus Christ, so we're making disciples. You're doing it in the context of a community, right? So people can come together, whether they're familiar with each other beforehand or not. They're having a meal. And then they're surrounded by witnesses, those who know their faith, who have been formed and can witness to great Christian virtue and patience and love and understanding.
Did you see how he just figured that mm-hmm. whole thing out
yep.
that we figured out?
Yep.
I'll admit I had a peek at some of the homework because I work with the team here and I've attended some of the evangelization workshop pieces. You've mentioned, Jen, the parable of the sower,
mm-hmm.
which I have found to be a very interesting and relevant piece of scripture to put in the context of understanding where is my parish right now
yeah.
in terms of creating that culture? Where maybe am I within mm-hmm. my own heart of being responsive to what the Holy Spirit is prompting me toward in ministry? Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about how the parable is applied in the workshop?
Sure. It's actually basically utilized like a SWOT analysis where you look at your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. But the idea is that no parish is one field. There's many fields within a parish community. So you're going to have a pocket of really rich, fertile soil that makes it very easy to grow disciples and missionary disciples within a community. It could be your youth group. It could be your Knights of Columbus, your choir. And there might be places where you have to deal with thorns, something that's cutting off people who are starting to sprout as disciples. And there could be other places where the soil is just rocky or basically pavement, that there's something that's even keeping the seeds from taking root. So the idea is to really be reflective about where do you find each of those. And it's a great tool because it asks certain questions and gives some examples so that you can kind of see what we're talking about. And it's a little challenging because sometimes we take for granted that, oh, this is a great program or this is a great group. And it's not denying that, but it is also asking that question, how can we be more open, hospitable, welcoming? How can we make sure that we're about the mission and not maintenance? And so it challenges you to really ask some hard questions of yourself and your parish in that regard.
Is there a possibility that a parish may have some ministries that have rich soil
mm-hmm.
and some that have rocky soil?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
That's come through in the discussions when we do this activity and people break into small groups. We'll have a parish community that has a few members reflecting on rocky soil, a few reflecting on good soil. And so they're bringing up different areas of their parish life in those discussions. And so it's interesting when they start to listen to one another, both during that exercise, and then sometimes you'll hear them chatting after about it.
One of the examples is, not to get into the whole thing, but it's this woman named Kathy, and Kathy grew up Catholic, fell away from the church, and she feels this prompting in her heart to come back to Mass. And she goes into a parish community, and everybody seems nice, but nobody talks to her. Ultimately, she realizes she doesn't belong in this community because there's like this insider club happening, and not in a negative way, but people are just, really kind to each other, but they don't recognize the outsider. So at the evangelization day, I think it was the one you were at, this woman got up and she goes, it really started making me think. I go to Mass and I pray and I sit there and I'm silent when I get there, and it's kind of become me and Jesus time, and I realize how many Kathys are around me and I never say hello to them. So the challenge isn't just for my faith community. It's for me to start saying hello mm-hmm. to people and to reaching out and inviting people to have donuts after Mass, because who knows if they know where the room is, right? And so it was really inspiring for us to hear that, because that's what this is all about. It's about personal conversion, because what is a parish? It's a bunch of people. And it's about us changing the way we do church, not about a structure. It's about how we interact with those around us. And so that was a pretty exciting piece of it.
Yeah. I was at that particular mm-hmm. workshop, and that hit me personally
yeah.
as well.
because it's an opportunity to see not just how's my parish doing,
right,
but how am I doing?
Do I say hello to anyone when I go to Mass or when I leave? Or
right.
Right.
You'll be happy. I was at the Great Lakes Men's Catholic Conference this past weekend at DeKalb, and I brought up the parable of the sower with these guys.
Awesome.
Simply because of how I've learned it in this context, which is great. Where can people learn more about both Evangelization Days and A Taste of Alpha?
EvangelizeChicago.org. EvangelizeChicago.org. Go there and on that RMC Summit Next Steps page. And then we're going to be adding more over time, just like Mike. We're going to be, as we grow into this, there'll be more and more resources. And we will have a newsletter as well that'll be starting up that we'll be sending out information to folks.
Fantastic.
All right, so we have 3 minutes left, and I want to just ask you guys, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I just want to ask you, what do you have to be thankful for this year? Jose?
Working with Beth and Jennifer, I am really thankful to be part of this process that the Archdiocese of Chicago is going through with Renew My Church.
Awesome.
I think it'll be of great benefit. And just a quick announcement, Spanish Evangelization Day is coming up on December 19th. And by Carrie at 1, if you're interested, evangelizechicago.org, you can register there.
Register there. Awesome. And there are 3 more of those Evangelization Days in January also. Mm-hmm. So take a look. And anybody can come to anyone regardless mm-hmm. of what vicariate you're in. Jen, what do you have to be thankful for?
Well, as much as I would agree with Jose, sorry guys, but my brand new baby niece, Yay! Cora Elise, completely wins on this one. She's just over 6 weeks old, and I get to spend Thanksgiving with her. So
she's going to be there in 15 hours ish to see her. Mike?
For me, very similar. My brand new baby niece, awesome. Sage Lorraine Mattson.
Sage,
yes,
love it.
I got to meet her for the first time this past Sunday and held her in my arms, and it was wonderful.
That's wonderful.
Very thankful for that.
That's awesome. And I'm going to go with Jose here. Last night I just had this overwhelming. We have a brand new member of our team. Alicia has joined us. She just started yesterday, so I didn't want to put her on the spot today. But she, last night we were together, the team, and I was just overwhelmed with a sense of amazing missionary disciples in my midst that are really committed to helping our parishes bring about renewal, whatever way we can, however we can. There's only 4 of us for a big old archdiocese, but I just felt this sense of thanksgiving that God has called us to step forward for his church, and it's such a privilege to work with Mike and the entire Renew My Church team, so... and everyone at the Archdiocese, so just a real gift. So we have 1 minute left. Anything else we want to say to our folks out there?
Thank you for waking up super early to listen to us.
Yeah. Hope if you're traveling, you have very safe travels. And
safe travels.
Say a few extra prayers for you.
Right. Yes.
And Thanksgiving is always an opportunity to be a disciple and to witness to your faith, whether
Absolutely.
It's in prayer or whether it's in conversations with family members that you haven't seen in a while.
And you can just talk about what you heard about today or the summit experience and just talk about how God is working in your life. So we send you out on a mission of love.
To become people of spirit, it's time for us to become people of love. Christ is risen, forgives our sin, and brings us new life. I send you out.
I send you out.
On a mission of love. I send you out.
I send you out.
On a mission of love. I send you out.
I send you out.
On a mission of love. And know
join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.